It's Moose and Maggie on the Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN FM, New York.
It is Hungerthon Day. Keep the donations coming in. Hungerthon.org, 1-800-5-HUNGRY. That's 1-800-548-6479. Moose and Maggie with you. We welcome aboard right now Giants linebacker Blake Martinez, and the Giants report is brought to you by HSS, the Hospital for Special Surgery, official hospital of the New York Giants, and by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Hey, Blake, Mark Malusis and Maggie Gray, thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be on.
You got it, Blake. Are you going to be wearing that Carl Banks starter jacket that he sent you?
Oh, yeah. I'll be wearing it every day now. It's some type of game or playmaking ability can, you know, rub off on me. I'll take it.
Well, and Liz, we talked to Carl, and how do you not love the way you play, Blake? You lay it on the line, you've got a nose for the football, you're all over the field. And you know what the tradition of the linebackers are here with the Giants. And when Maggie and I chatted with Carl about a week ago, we talked about you, and he said he is a prototypical Giants linebacker, and I don't think there is a better way to describe you or a better accolade that could be thrown your way, because there is a history of great linebackers for this organization, and the way that you play and the way that you lay it on the line each and every week, you deserve that kind of consideration and those kind of accolades.
No, I mean, it means a lot, especially coming from him. It's something that I knew coming here. Is big shoes to fill, knowing the type of linebackers that came before me. And so it's just awesome to be going in the right direction. And every day I'm trying to make sure I keep getting better and better, and keep proving that I can keep being that same New York style linebacker for years to come.
I think that's what Giants fans are hoping. Blake Martinez is our guest. So, Blake, in a normal season, maybe the bye week is a time you can get away. Maybe mentally you can take a break. Because of the restrictions of COVID, how did it change it for you? Did you feel like you had a mental break, or have you been dialed in this whole time? Just sort of explain what the last week has been like.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Normally you can kind of get away, whether it's going back home to see family or going on a little mini trip or something to decompress, but overall, it was still a good bye week. We had to obviously stay here and still worry about COVID, so not doing too much outside the house or things like that. So, but overall, I still got to decompress, still got to recover, relax, and I think that was probably the best part. It forced you to stay inside, watch movies, watch TV, and things like that.
I will get what you're binging in just a moment, but you know, you go into the bye week on a two-game winning streak, and that's a great way to go into a bye, right? Confidence is high. It seems like things are starting to click for this team. If you could identify maybe a turning point or when you realize that, you know, things were moving in the right direction, is there a single game or a moment when you realized that this team was starting to turn things around?
That's a tough one. I think it's just the type of guys we have. I think it was a matter of time when things started to click and understand situations, football things, making the plays necessary to win. But I think you saw it every week. You saw guys buying in. You saw guys getting better. You saw guys focus on the details, whether it was in meetings, practice, on the field, in the game. And so you just see those. That hard work starting to pay off. And I can't really pinpoint a certain time or a certain play or a certain meeting, whatever. But I think it's just us as a group. You just knew it was in a matter of time that it was going to start working in our favor.
The buy-in factor that you speak of, and you see it, you know, outside of the 49er game, you've been there. This team has been there each and every one of the games, Blake. How much does that have to do with the messaging from the coach and the staff?
Oh, I think it's huge. And I think their work ethic and their drive and their passion for the game just feeds right into us. And it makes it extremely easy to buy in and believe and trust in what they're coaching us and what they're saying to us because of that. And it's just been a really great relationship between us and the coaches each and every week, whether it's a loss, a win, whatever it ended up being, we were always getting better. We were always striving to improve, falling into the next week. And it's starting to, obviously, like I said, it's starting to show up in these last couple games.
Yeah, what I love, you know, Maggie and I chatted with Logan Ryan, your teammate, last week, and he brought up a scenario where he drew up a defense. One time it worked, the other time, and the one time that it worked, Patrick Graham ran it twice. It resulted in the interception against Washington, which sealed the victory, Blake, which you love to see. Not only is Graham a great defensive coordinator, my question is, have you suggested anything to the defensive coordinator like Logan Ryan did?
Yeah, I've been drawing up plays. Yes, for him, but I've suggested some things that we've added in, and it's helped out. Basically, for me and him, it's been more of a communication standpoint, whether it's during the game or during practice where certain things are happening. I'm like, okay, hey, let's try to switch this up, or things I'm seeing, trying to make adjustments on the sideline. And I think that's what also makes him, on top of being a really smart and intellectual coach, is his ability to listen and adapt and understand what we're seeing out there and also what he's seeing and making those adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be, like, drawing up plays and stuff, but I got to be honest, like, the protections and the things that are being called at the line of scrimmage, I feel like this year they're getting weirder than ever, Blake. I mean, they're getting weird. Yeah. You're seeing James Harden. You guys were calling Eli Manning. I think there was Red Panda last night or something. I don't know. I couldn't make it out. I feel like what the quarterbacks are calling in the slides and the protections at the line of scrimmage are coming up are just the names are funkier than ever. What's the weirdest one you heard?
I mean, you kind of hear them all. I think you saying Red Panda, that might take the cake right there.
It could have been Red Panties. I don't know what it was, Blake. I don't know. Was that what it was?
I think Red Panties would probably be the weirdest one if you have a quarterback screaming out Red Panties.
Listen, would that not take you off your – would that not hit your head for a moment? This is designed to throw guys like Blake Martinez off the trail. Martinez is our guest. Yeah,
or it can take or make me pay attention more to what he's saying.
That's fair.
Definitely, tell me more. Definitely a strange year.
Tell me more about that. So, Blake, you know, you've gone through a lot in your NFL career, including a head coaching change that's happened to the end of the season. I'm curious, when you have a position coach, an assistant coach that changes in midseason, obviously not for you, but for the offensive linemen, How could that impact that group? You know, what kind of adjustments do they might have to make now that a coaching change has been made in that offensive line group?
Well, yeah, I think it's part of the profession. In the NFL, you understand it's a business league. Things happen. Things happen to the best of the team, best of the players. And I think it's one of those situations it's going to obviously be different, but I think at the end of the day, you have to understand, hey, whatever coach I have, whatever player I have next to me, we got to get the job done. We got to figure out what they want from me, what they need me to do, and you got to go get it done. And I think that's kind of where our team has always been really great about, is that no matter what situation we've been put into, we've been able to find a way to find a solution or get the job done in any way, shape, or form. And I think that's what our offensive line is going to do moving forward.
You know, Blake, I mentioned Judge earlier. You were playing for him his first year as a head coach in the National Football League. You know, there have been some that have been critical of his ways from outside the organization. What about inside that room? How much does the communication, the messaging, the consistency in that messaging hit home for this Giants team as a group?
No, I think it hits home a lot. I think he's done an amazing job of just being the same, no matter what situation, win, loss, tough day, rainy day, sunny day, however you want to put it. He's always been the same type of guy, where you go into the meeting room, you know he's going to coach you extremely hard, but it's going to have a reason behind it. And there's reason behind everything that we do every day to make sure that we're the best player we can be and the best team we can be. And I think that's where guys have started to understand that aspect of it. And it makes it super easy to do whatever is out there, whether it's running laps if you fall start or mess up, or do the random things that you know suck, but at the end of the day, it's going to make you improve as an overall player.
What is the most random thing that you've had to do, if you've had to do it, Blake, that you hate doing?
I'd probably say the laps. The laps was definitely a tough moment to kind of have that pill to swallow. But overall you understood, and it started to show the sense of urgency for guys, especially the D-line and the O-line, to not false start because they did not want to run that big of a lap, especially during practice.
Well-conditioned athletes, scared of a little lap. No, I'm just kidding. Blake Martinez is our guest. You know, I mentioned before you had been through a coaching change mid-season. Obviously, that was Mike McCarthy when he got let go by the Packers. Did you see this story that McCarthy brought up? This is your former coach, brought a bunch of watermelons that he smashed to get his team, his new team, the Cowboys, riled up before they played the Vikings?
Yes, I did see that. That was that's an interesting story. I hope there's like a video or something out there to be able to see this.
Wait, did he ever do this Gallagher with you guys? Like, was this surprising or no?
That's the one thing I was looking at. I was like, once I saw that, I was like, it's not surprising, but it's definitely different than what, like, he would always have random moments or random things he would bring up in team meetings, whether it's, I don't know, random things. Like, we had, like, this chakra thing where it was basically the 8 alignments and all this type of things that he was trying to explain to us. And we were just like, wait, what? But it would somehow turn into a super fired up conversation. So it makes sense, but it's definitely different.
I feel like the chakras, that would be right in line with Aaron Rodgers because he's so zenned out right now. It's like they lost that game to the Colts and he didn't even blink. It was like he was totally zenned out.
He's always a calm, cool, collected guy. So that makes sense.
What's the biggest difference? Marketplace, obviously, and it's different this year with no fans in attendance, but this marketplace playing in New York as compared to Green Bay?
No, yeah, I think there's similarities and differences across. I'd probably say the biggest thing is just the media aspect. Everything you do, every situation, the good, the bad, is going to be amplified that much more. And then I obviously haven't been able to see the fan aspect. Obviously, you see it on social media and things like that, which have been awesome. But being able to see the fans in person at the stadium, whether it's at practice. Because at the Packers thing, we would have, obviously, the training camp, and it would be packed full of people every day, all those types of things. So I've heard that it's pretty much the same way here. Fans are crazy about the Giants. Especially a winning team, Giants, and things going in the right direction. I'd say it's pretty similar, but I'm excited to kind of see the difference after COVID's over.
Yeah, for sure. And the Giants, the fans at least, are hungry to get back to the playoffs because, you know, the last time they were there was a game that's known around here in shorthand as just the boat trip game. And obviously that was one that you were on the other side for in Green Bay with beating the Giants that day. Final one from me, Blake, and it's about your upcoming opponent. Obviously, I'm assuming you are starting to prep, you know, for Joe Burrow, and unfortunately he goes down with a devastating knee injury. His season is over. Does that change your approach to this week, and what is it against the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, I think the main thing, obviously, it changes the quarterback you're looking at to go against. And I think at the end of the day, though, you can't kind of think of it as, oh, okay, well, their backup's in, okay, we should be good to go. And I think that's kind of the death of teams when they kind of go in as that approach. So for the majority of it, besides obviously switching what quarterback I'm looking at, I'm still going to go about it the same way I do every single week and make sure I'm locked in on all situations, formation, tendencies, everything you kind of look at every given week going into a game.
Blake, final one for me. It's just and ask you about the NFC East. We know what it is, right? The Giants have got an opportunity, got to take advantage of the Cincinnati Bengals. You look at the way that this team has played and been in every single game outside of that 49er game. You pretty confident you think this Giant team is the team to beat in this division?
Yeah, I mean, I always have confidence in our team, especially the way we're going right now. I think we just got to keep focused on the things that we need to focus on and focus on ourselves, because I think, like you said, every game we've been in, but also every game that we've been in, it's always been on us making a mistake here or there that didn't allow us to finish the game off. And I think that's the thing that we're looking forward to do these last 6 games and focus on each week at a time to basically decide our fate moving through the rest of the season.
Wait, Blake, sorry, one last one for you. You've got to wrap this thing up in a nice bow here. You said in the bye week you basically had to stay in watching movies, stuff on Netflix. So give us Blake's picks. What were the best things that you watched in the bye week?
So my number one is Queen's Gambit. If you haven't watched
so good.
That show, it's so good. Oh, my gosh. I was addicted.
I'm pulled in. Yeah. I'm in. I've got three episodes
what
left.
What show is that?
Moose, Queen's Gambit. Where have you been? Under a rock?
Leave and go watch it right now.
Queen's,
he said leave and go watch it right now. I still got three hours.
What's Queen's Gambit about?
So basically, not to give it away, it's just this girl, she ends up going to an orphanage, and while she's at an orphanage, she learns how to play chess from the janitor there. And it basically is her story of like how she becomes really, really good at chess. And yeah, you just gotta go watch it. That's all I could say.
I'm right there with you. I have three episodes left. I almost don't want it to end because of how good the series has been.
I'm into The Mandalorian. Do you like Star Wars, Blake, or no?
Oh, see, I need to get into that. I haven't actually started watching that. So I think that's going to be my off-season show after this season's over.
And I'll give you another one. And listen, I'm behind this. I'm not telling you I'm ahead of the curve.
Wait, this was supposed to be Blake's picks. How did they turn into Moose's
no,
picks?
No. I want to give Blake a suggestion.
I like the recommendation.
Erie, Ted Lasso. You got to watch Ted Lasso on Apple.
Okay.
It's about a football coach that coaches a soccer team over in England. It's very, very funny. It was great on Apple TV.
I'll watch that. Okay.
A little Jason Sudeikis.
All right.
He's great.
Well, Blake's got his afternoon. We appreciate it, Blake. Thanks so much for the time, being generous with your time today. Good luck against Cincinnati, and we'll catch up with you soon.
No, definitely. Thank you.